It is so good to see this number tonight. So good to see each of you. And gosh, it feels like last year since I've seen most of you. You know, you can laugh. You got to do that. You got to throw those little kind of jokes in there and all that kind of good stuff. So, but I tell you, the years do seem to come faster and faster, like we've talked about before. And of course, we didn't stay up to watch the ball drop or anything. I asked Brandy if she wanted to, and she said, ain't no way I can make it. And I was like, well, if she can't make it, I know I can't. So slept through it and woke up this morning just blessed for another day and just thankful for it. And I was telling Brother Nathan, it's kind of interesting how we got to be in church on the first day of the year. That don't happen too often, I don't guess. But I'm thankful that we're here tonight and able to meet. And I do have a few announcements that I want to make mention of, and I'll try to remember for Sunday also. But Brother David Ward reached out to me, and for Westside, what they're doing, they had a Christmas program, and they enjoyed it so much they wanted to have it again this Sunday night at 6 p.m. And so he wanted me to invite the church, and I want to go ahead and get that out there tonight, and I'll try again to remind you on Sunday morning. But 6 p.m. At Westside, he said it's just such a sweet spirit and wanted to share that with us. And I definitely appreciate that invitation. And also wanted to say thank you for all the gifts and everything. You're very good to us, and we love you, and we appreciate you. And I want you to know that from the bottom of our hearts. And also, I just wanted to say, too, I appreciate all those who took part in the Christmas service, the candlelight service. Just had so many good comments from people about that. And again, a sweet spirit there. And also, folks enjoyed the time of fellowship. Just seemed like it went really well. And I just wanted to make mention of that and thank everyone for their part in it, and thank the church and what have you for providing the meal and everything. I think everybody had a good time. And also, it's Wednesday night, so I know we have a lot to be in prayer for. We'll make mention of that before we pray later on tonight. But if you will, let's turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, just wanted to step away from our Fruit of the Spirit study just for a night. This is something the Lord laid on my heart a few days ago when I read a post. I think you probably see a lot of motivational talk and things like that this time of the year, and we understand why. You know, understand the new beginning, a new year that offers up a lot of hope, hopefully, for folks. Sometimes maybe that's not the case, but I think for some, it's a time for a restart, a refresh, and it's kind of where my heart is at. And I just wanted to read a few different scriptures, but kind of under this thought. And I really do try to watch and be careful, you know, what I read and what I see and all that kind of stuff, and on Facebook and things like that. But I thought this was so good that I thought, just what a wonderful thought to have or to study on tonight at the beginning of the year, to start a new year out. And it's a little saying that I read, and I don't even remember who it came from or anything like that, but I do have scripture to go along with what it's talking about. But it goes like this. It says, the secret is, there is no secret. Consistency over intensity, progress over perfection, fundamentals over fads, over and over again. And we'll go through each one of those, but I thought that was a very interesting thing to read, because the fact of the matter is there's no secret to what's going on. I think this time of year, people want to have this maybe a new beginning or a new thing and want to try something new and try to say, well, if I do this, then maybe this will work. But I think a lot of times, most often, we know what we're supposed to do, but do we follow through with it? I mean, I think it's that simple. I really do. I'm going to make a confession to you tonight. You know, I've talked to you before about listening to the Bible through each year and what have you, and I found myself about 40 days short, Brother Tim, this year. I didn't get it finished. I didn't get it all the way through, and I thought, man, that's just not good. Now, that doesn't mean I've not studied and other things like that, but as far as staying on topic with that, or on time with that, to complete that, my days ran out on me. There's a lot of different things that happened, and you know what I started doing? I started trying to play catch up. Brother Archie had started trying to play catch up. I'm like, well, I'll listen to two or three days. I'll listen to this more, you know, I'll try to catch up. And It's harder to play catch up than it is to stay ahead. It really is. And so I found myself a few days short, not to say that I started a new plan this morning. The plan is to keep going and go on with it. But the reality of it is, if you can just stay focused on that certain amount every day, you'll complete your goal. There's no secret to that. It's a 365 day plan, and if you do your 10 to 15 minutes per day, you'll meet your goal. Lord willing, nothing happens, you'll meet your goal. But there's days that I missed, and that's what happened there. And that's kind of how it is. And so I say that to say, going into a new year, you know, is there resolutions and goals? I do have some things, you know, dietary goals and study goals and just things like that. But the biggest thing that I could think of this year, what would I want to focus on? If there's one thing that I could focus on in the ministry, what would it be? Always the gospel, but alongside of that, it would simply be inviting people to church. That's simple. That's easy. You say, well, that's no big secret. It's not. The secret is, there is no secret. But if you think about it, if we are really sincere and burdened about people's lives and seeing people's lives changed, how often do we invite people to church consistently? I tell you, everybody, you know, anybody you meet, you say, well, I know this person goes to church, what have you. That's fine. Encourage them to keep going to church. Be an encouragement. The importance is staying close to the Lord. But I just want to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started with this tonight. That I just hope and pray that it'll be a benefit to us and it'll help us to start out this new year. Lord, we come to you tonight. God, just so thankful for this day that you've given to us, the start of a new year. Lord, start of some a new hope, Lord, and things in you, God. And we just want to see you do many things and mighty things in the lives of your people, God. So many people around about us, Lord, also that are lost, that need to hear the gospel, need to be around the gospel, Lord. And we just pray that we be the influence, God, that we need to be to encourage people to come in, to compel people to come into your house, Lord, that it might be filled. God, that we would be the light, God, as we've studied so much about recently, be the light, God, that you would have us to be. But Lord, I just pray that you help us tonight. Be with all the many objects, Lord, that will be mentioned. Be with us tonight, help us tonight, and help us to focus, Lord. Guide my heart and my mind, God. Help me to say everything the way you'd have me to, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we see here, number one, just to go back to what we're talking about here, is consistency over intensity. I've been guilty at the first start of a new year as I want to do everything perfect. I want everything to be just right. And you start out really highly motivated. And it's easy to have that real intensity that I'm going to do this. I'm going to, whatever it may be. If it's a diet, if it's reading the Bible through, whatever it is, we start out with this strong intensity that we're going to do this. And we raise it to a great degree. And if you're not careful, even to a degree so much that you could psych yourself out from even completing it, that you wouldn't go through. I'll share a little bit of this here. Talking to my doctor, we're talking about some things about dieting and fasting and some different things like that. And one of the things she said, here's the thing. She said, if you fall off the wagon or if you mess up, if you feel like you ate a little too much sweets the way you're supposed to, she said, just start back. Don't let that hinder you from staying on track. Just pick right back up where you left off. You know, that's simple. Thing about it is, with our minds sometimes, what happens is we get so worked up that we have to be a certain way. We have this high intensity. If that intensity is broken, then we're like, well, what's the use? I've already messed up now, right, Brother Bill? I've already messed up. So I'm just not going to have to follow through with that, or I don't have that same intensity that I had. We kind of get deflated. But what this is saying here, consistency over intensity, just being consistent. Hey, you have that brownie you shouldn't have had, then you pick right back up the next day. You go out and you say, maybe it's about talking or whatever it is. You say, I shouldn't have said that. Well, you pick up the next day and say, hey, don't say that, remember? Whatever it may be. But if you look at John chapter number 15 and verse number 4, and you look at the word consistency, I think you'll see that there's a lot in common with abiding also. Consistency, that's a standing together, that's being fixed in union, that's fixed, that's firm. That's conformity in the application of something. Just being consistent. That means just doing something over and over and over. Standing together. You've got your mindset. I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to walk a mile every day and see what happens. See, a lot of times we shoot for the fence. And what I mean by that is I've thought about softball. A couple of years ago, I got to see Sister Mildred there and Sister Sandra and Brother Jonah was out there. We was playing softball, and my idea was I wanted to knock it to the fence. And my thing is I struck out more than I made contact, because I was aiming for the stars, thinking I could just hit a home run every time. And boy, that'd be grand. But the thing about it is you're not focusing on the basics of what it needs to be. Just being consistent, you got to hit the ball first. You're not going to get on any bases if you don't hit the ball first. And they're just talking about being consistent. And the thing about it is here, talking about the importance of being in church. John 15, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye except ye abide in me." That word abide, that means continue in the same state. The further we get away from God, the more impossible it's going to be for us to have any kind of goals or meet any kind of goals. You say, that's right there, another reason of importance of inviting people to church, whatever their goals may be. I tell you, it's going to be or needs to be centered around God and His Word. That's where the power is. If you go back to this verse, what he's saying is you abide in me, you continue in the same state with me, because being a branch, you will not bear any fruit. If you're not abiding in the vine, you'll have no fruit. If you're not in church, you're not following the Lord, you're not staying close to Him, the first thing that it says here is you're not going to have any fruit at all. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit on our study, and it goes right along with that. The importance of the fruit that Christians are supposed to have. If we're not staying close to Him, we're not abiding in Him, we're not going to bear any fruit. You can just kind of take that away. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more ye except ye abide in me. To stay close to Him is what he's saying here. Number one, consistency over intensity. Not trying to meet some kind of grand level of something, but just staying faithful, just staying consistent. You know, there's really no secret to that. How many of you have heard about the importance of being faithful? There's no secret to that, is there? You probably think about wanting to hear something grand and something new, right? The secret is, there is no secret. There's no secret to this. The Lord has made this plain to us. He's just asking us to be consistent. And number two, if you will, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Number one, again, we see consistency over intensity. Number two here, progress over perfection. Progress over perfection. And that really kind of spoke to my heart, again, because it kind of follows along that same line of intensity. And just this whole thing about being perfect. I think in our minds, if we have a good stretch, if we say that we're going to go X amount of time, I'll use fasting as an example. That's one of the things that in preparation for a colonoscopy a few months ago, is one of the things I'd never done before in my life, going 48 hours like that in a fast kind of thing. Now, there was water and Jell-O and all that kind of stuff, but it was a lot of fasting, I'm telling you. But I'd never done that before, but to me, I felt like I'd accomplished something, and I wanted to have a fresh start after that. I thought, you know, if I can do this and go through this and let this start a new habit of eating right and what have you, I mean, that's where my mind was at. And I thought, this is great. But you know, the first time you mess up, I say you mess up or you eat that thing you shouldn't have eaten or didn't want to eat, then you feel like, man, I've just blown this. I've just messed this up. And there's this idea that you have to be perfect. For me, I'm talking to me, and I had a excellent conversation with Brother Bradley Swift and Sister Amber. We were talking at the meal after the candlelight service. We're talking about this idea that you feel like you have to be perfect. I tell you, I felt like that so many times, like you always have to know the right thing to say or the right thing to do or always be able to make somebody happy or do something like that. But always this pressure of being perfect. But I've learned that you cannot be perfect. I can't be perfect. You can't be perfect, but you can make progress. You can focus on the little things again, just day by day, those little things that we already know that there's no secret to, that we're supposed to do. There's no secret to it, just staying faithful in doing that. But I like what it says here, 1 Timothy 4:15. One of the things that it talks about here, again, progress is a moving forward. I know with the way last year was for many people and a lot of things, I know there is probably a whole lot of wanting to move forward, and we can't move forward fast enough. But progress, that's a moving or going forward, that's a proceeding onward. But what I like about this here, 1 Timothy 4:15, it says, meditate upon these things. It kind of goes back to your daily allowance, your daily diet of God's Word and staying in His Word and meditating on what He says. One of the things it says here also, it says, give thyself wholly to them. What a goal to have. Brother Terry, that's simple. It's not a new thing. It's simple. You think about going here, and you stay faithful to God's Word, you find something in God's Word, and then you apply it. And then you do that over and over and over. That's the consistency piece of it. That's the progress piece of it. But I'm going to tell you a secret. You're going to mess up. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong thing. But the important thing to do, ask for forgiveness and get right back on board. A lot of people, that's where they'll fall out. They'll fall out of church or something will happen or hurt feelings or something like that will happen and they won't be able to get over that. But look what it's saying here. You think about how important the daily dose of God's Word is in our life. Being reminded of these things daily, constantly. It says meditate upon these things. If we're not reading it and studying it daily, we're not going to meditate on it. It's not going to be fresh. It's not going to be right there on our mind, but I couldn't tell you how many times that if I read something first thing in the morning or heard it, listened to it in God's Word, that throughout the day somewhere that would come back to mind. Having conversations with friends and maybe things that they're going on or going through in their life, and there's that scripture like, wow, that's exactly what they needed to hear today. It was fresh on my mind because I had it on my mind where I could meditate on it. And it says, give thyself wholly to them. Focus on that. And it doesn't say here that that's just for preachers or teachers. That's for all of God's children. That's for all of us. To give thyself wholly unto them. I mean, all these different things that our minds could be on right now. If you watch the news, there's a lot of things going on. Your mind could be over there on the drones and on the fog and all this kind of stuff. All this kind of stuff. There'll always be something. But God's Word is reminding us to give our minds wholly to Him and to His Word. That's the power and the ability that we have. You think about what it means to be a Christian. It's not like we have magical powers or anything like that. We don't. But we serve a God that can do anything. Think about that. Think about the confidence that we should have in Him and the importance of staying focused on Him and giving ourselves wholly unto them. Now, it serves a purpose. And it says here that thy profiting may appear to all. You say, well, you know, you look at a Christian that's, let's say, a Christian and they complain about things maybe or usually on the downside or negative side of things. What profit is that? How would the world see that of any profit whatsoever? And I'm not saying that hard things and bad things don't happen to people. They do. And there's sometimes it's hard, Brother Tim, to shout on the rooftops. I mean, it really is. It's hard, but what he's saying here, that thy profiting may appear to all, that thy gain, thy advantage, or thy improvement. You see, that's what progress is improvement. Anybody here happy with where they're at, or is there any level of improvement you'd like to have somewhere? Every single bit of those, every single goal that you have starts with that one first step. Every single one of them. I think about the night I got saved. This came to my mind. The very first thing I had to do was take a step toward Him. His arms are already outreached. The offering had already been made. The gospel had already been presented. He was waiting on me. Jason, it's your go. I've done it. It's your go. And it's that taking that step toward Him, that movement toward Him. We've heard that taught and preached on here before, but the importance of taking that first step to Him, it's progress. And you say, well, and I see this a lot maybe sometimes with preachers. Maybe, and I know it's a good thing, and I know it is, and I understand that, and who wouldn't want to take part in it when you read after the revivals that have taken place in years past? Who would not want to be involved with that? But I've heard it like this, preachers, like, man, I'd love to preach in front of a football stadium, and man, I'd love to do all these big, big things. But what does the Bible say? Luke 16:10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least," the little things. If you have aspirations of doing bigger things for God, He's saying, let's just be faithful in the little things right now and see what happens. You see, there's a proving time, there's a trying time, there's a trusting time that the Lord wants to have with us. He wants us to be able to see what He can do through all these things. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. That teaches us, Brother Allen, if you can be faithful in these little things, maybe the Lord can graduate you up and you be faithful in some bigger things. It's a learning process. It's a growing process. Again, we're talking about progress that's being made. But it also has a warning here too, and it says, "And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." That's, I think, what that means is, you know, the ones that tries to take shortcuts, tries to cut the curves and cut the corners on things and not do it the long way, do it the right way. I think that's what it's talking about, being unjust. It's talking about here the importance of just being faithful. Again, anybody heard that? Talking about being faithful, the importance of that? It's no secret. It's no secret. And then we see here again, that is progress over perfection. We're not going to be perfect. Now, the inner man, if you're saved, it's sealed. It's perfected. But this flesh is not. Again, you're going to mess up. We're going to have problems and trials in our life, and we're not always going to have the right thing to say. We're not always going to know the right thing to do. Even though outwardly we're not perfect, I tell you, we can make progress on the inside. And the last thing here, the last point tonight is fundamentals over fads. Fundamentals, just basics. I think fundamentals can be a scary word. Talked about that before. Talking about fundamentals. You're talking about fundamental independent, fundamental Baptist. Sometimes people don't know what that means and they'll Google it. And then, boy, Google will scare everybody off. To me, fundamentals just means basic. Just the basic teaching of what God says in His Word. How simple is that? If you're talking to somebody about, hey, fundamentals. If you're coaching a team, fundamentals. What does that mean? It means keep your eye on the ball. Don't just swing for the moon and you're not looking for the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your head up. Keep your head on the swivel. That's fundamentals. It's basic things. But the problem is, I think a lot of times we overlook the little things. And that's where we mess up. We kind of defeat ourselves before we even get started. But fundamentals, that's a leading or a primary principle, the groundwork of a system. Just the basics. That's the framework. That's the foundation. Just the fundamentals of it. You know, well, you say, what would be a good fundamental type thing, not a fad? Because I think sometimes what happens is people want to hear new things. People want to hear different things. I want to say this. There are so many things in the Bible that has not been taught and that has not been fully understood that nobody here needs to hear a new thing. We need to focus on what's already there. What does Jeremiah 6:16 say? It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see." See, that's an offering there. It doesn't just say stand in the ways and ask for the old paths. It says stand in the ways and see. I think that's the Lord giving us the opportunity there. If you'll just stay faithful and stay in the ways and just hide and watch, you'll see. I believe that's what He's saying there. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. And ask for the old paths." Just staying faithful to what God has already given to us in His Word. And it says here, where is the good way? He's not asking, where is the good way? He says right here, if you read it, it says, "And ask for the old paths, where is the good way?" That's where the good way is, in the old paths. He's not saying take a machete and create a new way, a new path. Don't build you a new cart, David. You don't need a new cart. to carry in the ark. We've already got that covered. Don't just stay with what is already in the way. Where's the good way? It's with the old paths. And it's saying again here, and walk therein. That's how you stay faithful every day. That consistency. You walk in it every day. You walk in it every day. I'm so thankful that God has created a forgiveness path for you and I. If there's no forgiveness, it'd be hard. You mess up and you're out. You strike out. Three strikes, you're out. Most people, one strike and you're out. But see, God is different. He made a way of forgiveness. He gives us a way of forgiveness. His mercies are new every morning. So he's saying, get right back on the path and stay in the path. I know you're going to mess up, but get back on the path and stay on the path. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Most Christians I know today look pretty tired. It's a lot to keep up with. I mean, you're trying to keep up with the news and things that's going on, trying to help people, trying to reach out to people and do things and kind of find what you're supposed to do. And sometimes it's hard work. It's a labor. It's a work. But the Lord promised here in His Word, if you'll stay in His ways, that you'll find rest. You'll find rest for your souls. It's a promise. But, you know, it goes on to say too, but they said, we will not walk therein. We're not going to stay faithful is what they're saying. And I tell you this, there's a lot of people that fall in that category. I'm not getting on to anybody. I pray for them. I pray for them. I want to see those people get back on the path. It's not a, I'm here, you're there. I want to see us all on the path. But sometimes the people, they get their feelings hurt. They get so beat down by the world. They get beat down so bad by the devil, and they get beat down, the worst part, by their brothers and sisters. That's hard to overcome. That's hard to overcome. Somebody mess up in the congregation, what have you, somebody mess up, and they want to get back in that fellowship, but there's not forgiveness there to get back in. Why would you come back? Why would you come back? So that's a hard thing. But you see here what he's saying here too. It says, but they said, we will not walk therein. It's too hard. It's too strict. I can't. I know I'm not perfect. I can't add up. I can't stand up to that. I won't be able to add up. But you know, the important thing here again is just staying with the gospel. And I want to finish with this here in Ecclesiastes 1:9. I think that's something else that I've heard a lot being said too, is talking about how things are different today than what they used to be years ago. You know, I know technology advancements, and there's all kinds of things like that that have changed, advancements that's changed. But you know something that has not changed? Human nature. Mankind. The heart of man. That's something that hasn't changed. The flesh. If you just be honest, the flesh is something that hasn't changed. If you go all the way back to the beginning, there was murder right there at the very beginning because man had hate in his heart. And, you know, there might be different ways of carrying things out today than what there were then, but that evil imagination was always there. It was always there even back then. Maybe things are more prominent, more accessible. I believe that's by design. I believe wholeheartedly that's by design. But look what Solomon, look what he wrote in Ecclesiastes. I mean, you think about this. I know that was years ago. But I know that it also applies for today in what he's saying here, Ecclesiastes 1:9. He says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. Those things that has been during time, those things that we've witnessed before, it is that which shall be. Those things are still going to be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. Those things that were done in the past are the things that's going to be done in the future. Past, present, and future. And he also goes on to say here, and he says, and there is no new thing under the sun. No new thing. I thought that was interesting. And when I was studying and thinking about this here, I think sometimes getting to mind, it's just in our minds, oh, it's different now. Things are so different now. Our kids are faced with this or that or this or that. We don't really understand and know what exactly it was like during the times of Noah, do we? I think they faced a lot of things too. The perversions and things that we see. Yeah, there might not have been internet and stuff like that, but it was still there then. We see more things now, the prevalency of it, because we're in the information age. Everything is right in front of us. You don't have to go out and get it. It's all right there in front of you. And you see how consumed sometimes people can be with things. Brandy shared something with me today I thought was interesting. I wasn't even going to even mention this, but she was talking about Instagram. People who spend, put whatever, fill in the blank, but if you spend 3 hours a day on Instagram, you have just spent 9 years of your life on Instagram. If you spent 3 hours a day, I can't remember for how many years, I'd have to go back and read it. But you imagine that, 3 hours a day, doing something 3 hours a day will accumulate to 9 years of your life. Imagine if we studied God's word for 3 hours a day. It's hard to do it 15 minutes a day. I'll attest to that. It's hard to do that sometimes when you're trying to follow that. But what he's saying here, again, I want to read this. Just think about this, and we'll have our time of prayer. I want to sincerely encourage you tonight, just something simple. Invite people to church. Invite people to church. We're in the gospel business. We're in the gospel family or in the gospel sharing. I don't like to want to misuse the word business, but that type of work, that type of labor. And if we really believe that the Lord is coming and we want to see people prepared to go, where do we need to get them? In church, in front of the gospel. Or share the gospel with them right there where they're at. I'm fine with that too. I need to do that more myself, you know. But I'm talking about the importance of getting people surrounded by God's word. Number one, again, it says the secret is there is no secret. Consistency over intensity, progress over perfection, and fundamentals over fads. You know, I think we all know what fads are. The thing that just kind of comes in and kind of comes and goes. And you see that a lot. I've seen things on TV. Here's the thing, and I think this is, I'll end with this. I think this is what happens. You say, preacher, I want to see people in church, but we need to do this. We need to have more of this. What if we done this? Things that are outside the old paths, things that are outside of God's work. We're not into fads. We have the one thing that we know that will work. It's the gospel. And we just need to keep sharing the gospel and be faithful in doing that. It's a very simple thing if we'll just focus on the fundamentals of it. It's very, very simple. Very simple. I'm going to close right there. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or add tonight? Amen. That's exactly right.